This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Joe Montana is with us on Sports Byline, and I think, Joe, when people look at professional athletes, they see probably what they think are specimens, that they are in the best of health, that there's nothing that can bother them. And I've talked with you about this subject before, and it's one that's very important to you. And I think people are surprised when they hear that you've had to deal with high blood pressure.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's more surprised than myself. You know, I had a family history of it, and it was right in front of me, but I didn't want to see it. And even though that's not really, might not be the reason that I had high blood pressure, but, you know, my grandfather passed away at 54 from heart disease, and my mom's had high blood pressure, and so do her brothers. But, you know, I got involved with this campaign, Take Action for Healthy BP, because I think we could make a difference. You know, there are 65 million Americans out there that are affected. And when Novartis Pharmaceuticals came along and asked me about getting involved in getting this awareness out there, I was excited about it because this is something that when you put your mind to it, it's pretty easy to change. And it's a life-changing experience, or life-saving, I should say, because it is something that dramatically changes your health. And there are no symptoms with it. I mean, it can sneak up on you like it did me. I mean, when you talk about surprised, I went in for my yearly physical. And had it not been for my wife telling me to go, I probably wouldn't have gone anyway.
Nagging does work, doesn't it?
And from the year prior to that, you know, my blood pressure went through the roof. And I didn't do anything different. But when I went into the doctor's, I didn't feel any different. So I was surprised as anyone. And you know, the thing we want to do is, we want to get not only the word out to the people who may not know what their blood pressure is, but to the people who even know that their blood pressure is there and they may be taking a medication and think they're okay, because 50% of the people on medication who think they're controlled, they're not. And, I mean, that's what happened to me. The first time I went into the doctor, she gave me some medication to take. And I'm thinking, okay, this will help me, I'll be better. Well, shoot, it's a good thing she stayed on top of it, because it didn't. You know, it wasn't enough. And most of the people who found out later that most people on medication will need a combination of medicines. And that's what I'm on. I'm on one called Latrelle that has a combination of two medicines in one capsule. I take once a day, simple. But, you know, as we always say, what's medicine's good for me might not be good for you or anyone else. So the real thing here is to go out and get a dialogue started with your doctor and get on this, find out what your blood pressure is. And if it's high, that's, get started on the right medication. Start looking for things that you can do that on the exercise side. Beef up your exercise workout or your routine, and look at your diet. Because, hey, I was potato chip, hamburger.
I know. I remember.
So, you know, we just trying to get people. We call, you know, once you do that, we'll find that the doctor will help you set a blood pressure success zone. We call it the BP success zone, a number that is healthy for you, and then you work to try to stay in that.
How much of this is a more male-oriented to female? Is it more male-oriented?
No, it affects – it's
an equal abuser, huh?
It does not matter.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you just don't know. And the only safe thing – and it's so simple to test. I mean, you can go out to the local pharmacy and get – they make these blood pressure cuffs
right.
You can buy there. And I actually monitor myself at home. And, you know, my family's been a tremendous help with it. You know, the kids are always wanting to take my blood pressure or take their own and asking me about my medication and moving the salt shaker away from me at the table because they know I love salt.
Yep.
So that's been a big help.
How about stress-related?
You know what? 90% of the cases, they don't know what causes it. Stress could have a relationship. Your diet could have being overweight definitely has something to do with it. But
I mean, you have none of the things that indicate to me that you'd ever have any.
That's the beauty of
the
campaign, though, is that, you know, to say that it can affect me really gets out the word to say, hey, you know, this can affect anybody. I mean, I thought I was doing the right thing. So, okay, my eating might not have been the greatest, but it really wasn't that bad. But it's a combination of all these things and how easy it is to fix. Now, and I've been on my blood pressure has been under control now for over 2 years, and I'm happy about it.
Do you think, and I've talked with Mike Ditka because he's been a spokesperson for other health issues, And one of the things that Mike told me was that when it comes to men dealing with health issues, I know what you're – go ahead. You can finish what I'm going to say here.
That's exactly right. You know,
it's an ego thing.
It's like my wife making me go to – why? What's one day going to the doctor?
Right.
You know, it's just something that – I don't know what men have about it, but
– I'm bulletproof.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
Now, there's a website in which people can find out
more. Yeah, they can get
to
the website. There's a lot of information on there, healthybp.com. And if you don't like the website, you want to speak to someone, we have an 800 number, 866-556-3866. So there's a lot of great tips on there, too.
Yeah, I want to urge everybody to check that out because it is important. Before I let you loose, let me change gears for just a second here. You know, when you were playing, you've always been kind of low-key, shy on the shy side. You really didn't put yourself out there that much. I think you were very focused on football. But yet, after your playing career is, you had a broadcasting career for a short time. You also have been a spokesperson. You've been very amenable to meeting and doing those sort of things. Is that a natural outgrowth of an athlete moving beyond his career?
Well, I think it's the one thing that you try. You know, when you're involved in the sport and you're playing, you know, there's so many things that can distract you. And the biggest distraction on a day-to-day basis is the media. And not that it's it just takes time from your day as much as anything where, you know, everybody's been hurt by one guy or another guy here or there. And you eventually get over all that stuff, but it's hard to focus on the game when you have people outside the game telling you what you're doing right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I don't know if it's a natural progression, but it's just, the pressure from where it started is gone, so you don't have to deal with the sports part of it, and so the relationship becomes different between yourself and the media because you don't have to answer to that question, where most athletes think they shouldn't have to answer to the media because they don't understand really what the game was like. You know, it's hard to explain, you know, when you let go of that pass and, ah, dang it, I thought it was going to get in there, and it got intercepted. And you know what? Unless you've been there and know that you have to take chances, and, you know, it might not have been the right time to throw that ball, but, you know, I still have my belief in myself that I can make that throw, and to have somebody outside there tell you, you shouldn't have thrown that. Well, hell, I could tell you that after I threw it, you know, but if it gets in there, it's a different story. So I think that's probably the toughest part, you know, and it's a fine line in there, unfortunately.
I also think one of the tougher things, I remember when you and Dwight were roommates, it was tough for you to go out to the grocery store. I mean, it was almost impossible. And even today, there are certain athletes who are icons, and you certainly are when it comes to football and sports, that it must be tough for you still to go out today without people not wanting to come up and either talk to you and ask for an autograph. Are you comfortable with that, or is it still a difficult thing for you?
No, I mean, you get comfortable to a certain degree with it, but it's always an uncomfortable feeling when people you don't know say stuff, you know, come up to you, and, you know, it's like you start racking your brain because they're so friendly to you.
Right.
Like, oh my God, where do I know this guy from? And you don't know him at all. And so it's kind of uncomfortable that way, but I mean, you understand and appreciate their appreciation for what you did. But the hardest part is when you're with the family, because we spend a lot of time together going to do things, and it's really, what's hard is, when I go, just like over the last weekend, I was in Sacramento with my son, and it's really hard to go and watch him play basketball and try to be a normal parent because people just won't let you do that. And it's hard to explain to them why, I just want to watch, I just want to be like you watching your son. That's all I want to do right now. And I want him, when he looks up in the stands, if he ever does, to see, not see me sign an autograph, but, I mean, I don't want to miss him make a mistake. I don't want to miss him do something well and then have him turn around and me not be there for support for him.
I want to switch gears in the final couple of minutes we have and talk to you about something that will enlighten the fan out there. You had major back surgery, came back and played football. Most people, if they have a cold, they take a day off. If they sprain an ankle, they take a week off. If they have arthroscopic surgery on their knee, they take 6 months off. How do athletes, particularly football players, work and play with pain?
Well, I think you have your pain level is a different understanding. I think the best example of that is, I just had neck surgery and my had my neck unfortunately fused in the back. But when I was talking to my doctor about the pain, you know, my neck was just stiff for a long time. She goes, "Well, how stiff is it?" I go, "I don't know. It's just been stiff and it's been a little sore." And then after the surgery, she said, "Well, you know, because she hasn't really dealt with me through any type of surgeries before." And she said, "Well, now I understand. And I've talked to people and they just say the athletes have a different pain tolerance level. So when you tell me it's you have some pain, usually it means it's beyond a little bit of pain. It's something that you're bringing it up because you can't, it's bothering you.
Right.
Otherwise, if it was enough where you could deal with it, you wouldn't even say anything about it." And so she goes, "I have to treat you differently than any other of my patients when it comes to talking about pain." So plus the guys want to get, they want to get back into the, it's really, it's a job, but it's a game. And we're playing a game. I mean, if everyone did something that they liked as much as athletes do playing the sport, you know, you'd have a lot more people doing the same type of thing. But, you know, work is work in most cases. And, you know, if you get some time off free, hey, that's the way to go. But athletes are different.
One of the things that I have tried to get the fans to understand, they always talk to me about the money that all athletes make. But I said that there's a professional pride about what they do. Can you explain it to them, what that is for the athlete?
Well, I think there's more than, I mean, the money is great, and the athletes would, you know, are obviously playing and getting paid very well. But I think the thing that pushes the athlete more than anything is that they do take pride in their work and what they do, and they have played this game for so long for nothing that all of a sudden they got a chance to play. But they're really playing to show you or anyone else how good they are. They want to prove to you how good they really are. And that's the pride that comes in, is that they have a love for what they do, but also an appreciation of the game, and they want to share their abilities with other people. And it's really hard to say that guys are out there, if they weren't getting paid, they wouldn't be there, because the 90% or more would be there playing the game as long as they could play it, because the game is tremendously fun.
Which is more important, the appreciation of the fans to the athlete or the respect of their peers?
I think it's probably pretty equal. I mean, if you had to put one above the other, I think they would take the respect of the peers, because not everybody knows all the sacrifices that along with, you know, and how much work it really takes. I mean, when I laugh about this, when I first met Jennifer, she was talking to her mom about, you know, me, and she said, "Well, you know, maybe you can have him over for Thanksgiving. We'll have him come down for Thanksgiving." She goes, "Mom, he's working." "Well, he only plays on Sundays." You know, so they don't understand all everything else that goes along with it. And now she understands now, but not everyone really knows the effort and the work that goes into it.
In the last couple of minutes that we have here, is there a moment in your career that's crystallized in your mind that will always stay with you as a paramount moment?
Probably the touchdown pass to John Taylor. Obviously the one, the throw to Dwight in the catch, but the one as a kid that I won the Super Bowl, I'll bet you, a couple thousand times in my backyard with my neighbor throwing a touchdown pass to win at the end of the game. And to have that come true, really, probably, I mean, I see the pass all the time.
Was that was he the primary receiver on that play?
Yeah. Well, it depended on the coverage. And we got he's supposed to run a hook, and he runs the safety split or one leaves the middle, he turns the hook out and goes into a post, and that's basically – we got the coverage we were looking for.
Most people remember that, but, of course, the Dwight Clark catch is the one. And what people don't remember about that is that your defense had to stop Dallas
after
you scored.
Eric Wright makes a tremendous tackle by the back of his shoulder pads or jersey that really solidified the game more than anything, more than the catch.
Yeah. We got about 30 seconds. Anything about your career that means the most to you, though?
No, you wish people, the only thing you wish is, I guess, that people could experience that game, to understand the joy and the love that the guys have for it, and the willingness to put up with the injuries after the game that make it seem to be, people say, "Wow, it's not worth it, is it?" And I go, "Yeah, I'd do it all again in a minute."
Joe, I want to thank you for your friendship. We've been friends for a long time. And again, I want to urge people, www.healthybp.com. Be sure to check it out. Joe, thanks for joining
us.
You
bet. Thanks, man.
Hall of Fame quarterback Joe Montana with us and you on Sports Byline.